Good morning, and welcome once again to According to the Scriptures. This radio program is a work of the Mars Hill Church of Christ that meets in Christiana, Tennessee. My name is Kyle Webb. I'm happy to serve as the minister for this good congregation. I'm happy to come into your home each week or into your car or wherever you may be listening, and today is certainly no different. Our lesson for today is based on good intentions versus the will of God. Have you ever had a good intention in regard to worship or in regard to something that may help you to be of service to God or in the way that something should be done in God's service? Sometimes, many times maybe even, our good intentions are not the same as God's will. Just looking for a moment at different congregations and different churches, we see that there are many things done in regard to worship, and people will give reasons for them. Well, I like them. I think they're good. I think it's a good way for me to serve God, and I feel closer to Him whenever I do this or that. Take, for instance, the use of musical instruments in worship. Those of you that are familiar with the Churches of Christ, I think most of our listeners probably are. But if you're familiar with the Churches of Christ, you know that we do not use musical instruments in our worship services. I believe for very good reason. There are people who feel like they help them to worship God better than what they would before. Those that are well-versed in the use of musical instruments and how to play them and things of that nature. And though they may be good intentions, but though they may be done with the idea of serving God and doing His will, that doesn't make them in accordance with God's will. And so as we look at the Bible, we see what God has authorized. He's authorized the use of voices. We are authorized to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We are authorized to use psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But we are not given authority in the New Testament, as far as I have found, that allows us to use musical instruments. So though they may seem good to us, and I'll admit I like music that has instruments in it, just not for worship. And why? Because I want to make sure that what I'm doing is according to God's will. Though we may have good intentions, that doesn't necessarily mean that what we are doing is right in the sight of God. We are going to look at some examples today of people in the Bible that it appears that they had good intentions, but the circumstances tell us otherwise. They tell us that these good intentions were not in accordance with the will of God. But before we really get into our lesson for today, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings You've given to us. We thank You for this day, for our lives, for everything that You give us to enjoy. We thank You for the gift of Your Son, the one that You gave to die on the cross for our sins. And we pray, Father, that as we live this life on earth, however long it may be, we pray that You would help us to do those things that are in accordance with Your will, that help us to be faithful to You, that help us to better serve You. We pray, Father, that as we study this lesson today and study these people, that we would understand the importance of doing what You have said rather than what we feel is right. We pray, Father, that You would keep us all in Your care. And it is through Jesus that we pray. Amen. I want to begin our study for today in the book of 1 Chronicles. We don't often take lessons from the book of Chronicles. We understand that the book of Chronicles is filled with names and things of that nature, a lot of genealogies, and they're hard to read sometimes. But as we read the book of Chronicles, we also find that there are several places where we have good things that we can learn from, good teachings that we can learn from. And I want to look at chapter 13 and look at one of these things that we can learn from. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us. And let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul." Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. I want to notice something here in this verse. The assembly agreed. They were in agreement that what was said and what was planned was right in the sight of the people. We're going to notice in a moment that what was right in the sight of the people was not right in the sight of God. Let's continue reading with verse 5, 1 Chronicles 13. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Baalah, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where his name is proclaimed. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God to me?" So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now, as we read this chapter, and as we read these verses, especially when we get to the part about Uzzah, whenever we look at Uzzah, we might be tempted to say, well, didn't Uzzah have good intentions? The oxen stumbled and it was about to fall off of the ark. And so Uzzah, he only put out his hand to touch the ark to steady it. He had good intentions. I do not doubt the good intentions of Uzzah. I do not doubt them one bit. I believe that he had very good intentions. He wanted to make sure that the ark did not fall off of the cart. And yet God struck him and he died. This is also something that David struggled with as well. He didn't understand why Uzzah died. We go back to verse 11, and it says that David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he was afraid of God that day. He wouldn't move the ark for 3 months because he was afraid of what God would do. Now, he had the right to be afraid of God. He should have feared God from the beginning. But as we look at the books of the law, going back to Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, looking at those books, when we look at certain chapters in them, in regard to the law of God, we learn that the ark was not to be on a cart in the first place. You see, God had a way of transporting the ark. He had already given law in regard to that. He had already seen the people asking that question. He had already answered it. What they were supposed to do was carry it by poles. There were rings on the ark, and there were poles that would go through those rings. And only the Levites, only the Levitical priests, were allowed to carry that ark. We see reference to this also in 1 Chronicles. If we jump to chapter 15 and look at the first couple of verses of that chapter, we see that David once again prepares to bring the ark to the city of David. Chapter 15 and verse 1 of 1 Chronicles, David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, in regard to the old law, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever. Because they had transgressed God's command in transporting the ark, Uzzah lost his life. And so we see the importance of doing God's will versus good intentions. Again, I do believe that Uzzah had the best of intentions, but they were carried out in the wrong way. Now let's turn our attention to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, let's begin reading at verse 1. We see that David himself also had good intentions in regard to building a temple. In chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, it says, now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Then Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Now, if we look at this, We see that both David and Nathan had pleasing God in mind and what they were doing. However, what we read in the following verses show that their good intentions were not in accordance with the will of God. Verse 4, chapter 7. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus says the Lord, Would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. Verse 12, when your days are fulfilled, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever, according to all these words, and according to all this vision. So Nathan spoke to David. David had good intentions, and Nathan thought that these good intentions were enough. He thought that the Lord was with him in all that he did. Go, do what you have in your heart. God is with you. But even though David had the intention of building a temple, of building a house of God, it was not God's will that David build this house. And so we see that David prepares for the building of the temple. He prepares his son for the task. And we see that this is carried out in the days of Solomon during his reign as king. David had good intentions in building the house himself, but it was not within the will of God. God's words were different. I have one more example that I want us to notice in the New Testament. John chapter 18. And now we turn our attention to the betrayal of Jesus. We turn our attention to the garden in which he was sought. where he had been in prayer, and now soldiers came to seek his life. We see a man here, one of his disciples, a man by the name of Peter, who had good intentions in defense of the Lord. John chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and the officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none." Verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Peter, in defense of Jesus, drew his sword. He cut off the ear of Malchus, a high priest's servant. We read in another passage, in another of the Gospels, that Jesus touched the ear. He restored it to Malchus. It was not within the will of God for Jesus to be defended with violence. You see, it had been prophesied that Jesus was to die, that he was to die on a cross, that he was to be crucified for the sins of all people. His life was to be a sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. Did Peter have good intentions? Absolutely. He stated so in Luke 22 and verse 33. "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And it seems that he at least thought he was. He drew his sword. He was ready to fight. But it was not God's intention. His intention was for Jesus to die. Peter, we see, later denied Christ. And he proved later on to come back to him and to show his worthiness of being called an apostle. Peter stood with Christ to the end of his life. He spoke the first gospel sermon, and he was martyred on behalf of Christ according to history. Peter's intentions at the moment of Jesus' betrayal were good, but it was not within the will of God. So as we look at Uzzah, as we look at David, as we look at Peter, I think we realize that it's important for us to make sure that our intentions are the same as the will of God. Sometimes it may be that we feel that something should be done a certain way, but maybe that is not the way that God has specified that it should be done. Be very careful that we are doing the will of the Lord. The name of this program is According to the Scriptures, and I think that we've seen, according to the Scriptures, that we need to do God's will above all. That we need to look for thus saith the Lord in all that we say and do. No exceptions. I hope that this lesson has been helpful to you. Lord willing, we'll be back with you next Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. And we hope that you'll be back to join us for another lesson from God's Word. And we thank you for your presence today. And until we meet again, may God bless you.